had several educational events, and we were talking about our mission, which our mission is part of it is about management. That's our name, Quality Deer Management Association. Have we got that across? And we definitely have on recent surveys that we've sent to 60,000 people across the nation, which we got 60,000 members. All of them agree we need to have a management program, and all of them were doing a management program. So management is not really an issue. I mean, when you look at where we were back in 1980 and where we are now in 2017, people are more receptive to a management program when it comes to deer hunting.
Yeah, and you brought this up during the break about, you know, some states actually lease land for public hunting. I don't want to do that because I don't want to invest hunters' dollars into something, build it up, and then it be taken away from us. So we're going out and purchasing quality tracts of land. We can manage it right because it's going to be ours forever. And I think we're being wise stewards of the money that hunters are entrusting us with.
Very good.
You take a look at what public land you have out west, and I always compare that to, I love to go to South Dakota. I go every year. Everybody gets to hear about that. But they've got a ton of public land out there. But we're different here. We've got different terrain. You went back to pressure. We got tons of pressure right here. Out there, folks, you could have 20,000 acres and 100 acres of trees. And that's not what you're going to get in the great state of Alabama. So this opportunity is good. We need more of this. And hopefully we'll get more
of this. And we're actively looking. That's why we've partnered with Forever Wild. And you know, you have willing sellers come to the board meetings, nominate properties. If it works into our system, then we go through the process of actually trying to purchase it.
And you know what, Chuck? This ought to excite the private landowners, too, the ones that love hunting, the ones that love the outdoors, for the simple fact we've got to have more of this, folks. A lot of folks, they're not exposed to hunting. It's very important that we take hunters, we mentor them, we take kids out there, we introduce them to our sport and what we love to do for the simple fact of growing it and make sure it doesn't go in the decline. And this is something positive to do.
Let's talk about mentored. Rob brought it up. We have designated three of these hunting units at Cedar Creek that's going to be held aside for nothing but mentored hunts. You can go to our hunt page on OutdoorAlabama.com and fill out a questionnaire to be selected for a mentored hunt. 90% of mentor programs are kid-oriented. I'm not knocking that. That's fine. But if mom and daddy can't afford for that kid to continue hunting, they get lost in the shuffle. So what we're doing is we're targeting college age and young adults. People that maybe hunted when they were 5 or 6, hadn't bought a license in the past 20 years, but now they want to get back into it. Or you may have someone that's into the foodie side of things and want organic, cage-free, farm-fresh. You know, we were ahead of the curve. We've been doing that a long time. So what we're going to do is offer some opportunities for that audience. And they will be paired with one of our staff. This is not just an afternoon deal. We're going to all stay at a hunting camp. We're going to go to the woods. We're going to have some habitat education on what deer eat, what turkeys are looking for, range safety, firearm safety, tree stand safety. We're going to carry them on a hunt, hopefully kill a deer. If we kill that deer, then we go back to the skin and shed and we process it. Then we go back to the camp and we cook it. It's the whole hunting club environment that we all grew up doing that's what made us want to continue to do it. We're going to offer that as a pilot program this year on Cedar Creek. I'm expecting it to go gangbusters, and we're going to have to open it up to some other areas next year.
That's an excellent idea.
Let me tell you something. Everything you've mentioned today, that's the favorite thing that you said that I like. I mean, that is fantastic. That's what it's about right there. It's taking folks like that, giving them the opportunity, putting that hook in their mouth, and catching them.
Well, you know, a wise person said, give a man a fish, feed him a day, teach him to fish, feed him a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
We're not taking somebody just on an afternoon hunt where we can feel good about ourselves and say, hey, I carried this guy hunting. we're going to try to teach them something where they can then, in turn, apply to hunt this special opportunity area. This isn't, we're not carrying them to some private piece of property that they've never got the opportunity to go back to. We're hunting a piece of public land that they can see results of what they did on it and say, hey, I'm making do this on my own now, and I can hunt this same piece of property. I just may be on the other side of the road.
Yeah. Oh, that's an excellent idea. So, I don't know. I'm glad that y'all came up with that, because there's so many people out there, like y'all said, that may have an uncle or an aunt or somebody that has some land, and they get to go occasionally and get to go hunting, but they're not really fully experiencing the whole ordeal of it. And this way, being able to hunt for several days and having the mentor with them, teaching them everything that they need to know, you know, and it all starts with our youth. So hopefully they'll get fired up about it and do it the rest of their life. And then plus tell their friends and just get more and more people into it in this great sport of hunting.
Look, we're aging out. I mean, the average age of hunters is getting older and older. And if we don't recruit new people, so we're looking at this young adult group of people, because they can afford to pursue this activity if they want to do it. They can make the decisions whether they want to spend money and buy a gun or get in a hunting club. And then when they have kids, we jump a step. Then they
absolutely
bring them along.
Right. Passing it on. Passing it on. Hey, let's go to line one and talk to Rusty. Rusty, good morning. Welcome to Cast and Blast.
Good morning, gentlemen. How y'all doing?
Great, Rusty. How about you, brother?
We're fine, and we're all on different sides of the fence, because I do see Florida State kicking Alabama's butt. But when it comes to this program, the professionals that you guys, and Chuck, I appreciate your conversation.
Thank you, sir.
I did a lot of fishing as a kid, never really got into the hunting aspect of it, you know, with the guns and that kind of thing. Never been a real big gun person, but I love fishing. But it seems to me that when you guys bring professionals on, they actually know what their job is. They understand it, and we're talking about the game warden type people. They're serving the public, and they try to teach the public what's going on. Where in so many other aspects of the professional politician world and those kind of things, these guys are just hired guns. They don't have a clue what they're doing. And they won't say, well, let me get your name and number, and let me call you back with somebody that knows what's going on. Those guys try to give you their opinion, and most of the time their opinion is absolutely wrong and useless. But your program brings so much expertise every Saturday. I enjoy the show, and I enjoy the knowledge, even though I'm not out hunting and plowing up the woods or anything like that. But I enjoy hearing people talk about things they love and enjoy, and especially when it comes to passing on tradition.
You need to buy a hunting license. I mean, it's people like you that were looking to buy a hunting license
I'm just not. I can appreciate guns and that kind of thing, but I'm just not a gun person.
Well, let me throw this at you, because this is what I cover in part of my seminar. A lot of people think that all we do is enforce hunting and fishing laws, and they don't need to buy a hunting license to support that. What does our conservation officers do? They do enforce game and fish laws. They also teach hunter ed and aquatic ed programs. They assist other law enforcement agencies when we have an escaped convict or we have a missing person. Who do they call?
Us. But they call y'all because y'all know the woods.
Exactly. And also when natural disasters hit, who do they call? They call us. So even people that don't necessarily hunt, they are still receiving benefits from what hunters and fishermen are paying for. So by buying that $25 license, you're paying into the program to help us provide more services to the citizens of Alabama.
$25.
You know what's neat about the Conservation Department? They're self-funded. They're self-funded. You don't get anything out of the general budget.
We have got a dollar bill in our booth that's got how it's broken down, how we're funded. 66 cents of every dollar that comes in goes to law enforcement. 10% goes to wildlife. 10% goes to fisheries. And 14% goes to the administration of all that. No general fund monies pay for our services. And it's amazing how many people walked by that booth last night and looked at that and said, I had no idea.
That's right.
I had no clue.
You know, I think one of the biggest points that I really like about this show, and especially when y'all bring on experts like Chuck here, is your teaching conversation of our resources. And Europe at one time had no resources because they used them all up. And I appreciate my job not only keeps me in the city, but I'll leave the city because I enjoy driving into the rural parts of the state. And just looking at Alabama, Alabama is a very beautiful state, and all you got to do to appreciate it is leave Alabama and come back. I appreciate the conserving part of this because it's here and it's here forever if we take care of it.
Absolutely.
Yes, sir. Good point.
Hey, Rusty, we absolutely appreciate you calling this morning. Hey, roll tide, brother.
War Eagle.
War Eagle.
There you go.
I tell you what, it's always fun. We had Chuck on the line, but he cut off. Chuck, we love you, man. We appreciate you. You're always listening, and I hope he's doing well, Rob.
I think he's doing well. I just wish we had more time to discuss, and you and I, this may be a topic that we can talk about, is the spotted skunk and the hellbender lizard.
Yes, sir.
They're rare.
Yes, sir.
Why? Exactly. What's the problem? Real quick, I mean, where have they gone?
Look, just habitat changes over the years. And, you know, the spotted skunk is not something that most people want to focus their management strategies on, or the hellbender salamander. But as our mission states, you know, we're here to protect, enhance, and conserve. So
sure.
We have to look at everything, not just deer and turkeys.
That's right. So if you do happen to see a spotted skunk or a hellbender lizard, they want your input.
It's a salamander.
Is it a salamander?
It's a salamander, yeah.
Lizard.
Okay.
Lizard.
They're in the same family, aren't they?
I know they sort of look alike, don't they?
Yeah, they do.
I don't blame you, brother. I understand.
Yeah, I mean, be on the lookout if you're out there and you see one cross the road in front of you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Take
I smelled some.
Yeah.
I know 110. You go down 110 going to Fitzpatrick, especially during deer season, man, it's god awful.
For some whatever reason, these skunks like that prairie dirt, you know. But if you get down further south, you get in a sandy loam, you don't see the skunks. But up here, not too far from town, they're around.
So. Chuck, if these folks want to take advantage of these special opportunity hunts, what do they need to do?
They need to go to OutdoorAlabama.com, take a look at our hunting page, go to public hunts. Everything will be there explaining the program, what to do, how to do it. Registration starts August the 28th.
August 28th.
August 28th. The website will be updated next week where you can find out all this information.
Nice.
Now, Chuck, you're going to be at Buckmasters.
I'm going to be at Buckmasters. I'll be working our wildlife and freshwater fisheries booth. Come by and see us there, and then I'll be giving a seminar between 1 and 2 at the archery range.
Chuck, we appreciate you. We really
thank
you
all.
Yeah,
thank
we do.
Y'all.
Thank you, Chuck.
Rob, you're going to be at Buckmasters.
In. Yes, sir, I am. I'll be there.
Which booth, Rob?
I'm not sure quite the booth number, but it'll be the National Land Realty. And then we'll also be hanging out around the Montgomery Advertiser booth.
Absolutely. Just look for our
get
gorgeous
Steve's
picture.
Autograph. He'll be there on the wall.
I'll be at Great Southern Outdoors booth here in a little while. We appreciate y'all listening. We'll be back next Saturday morning with more Cast and Blast Outdoors right here on Sports Radio 740 and the Power Pig 101.1 FM. Thanks for listening.
A sewing shadow, and the shadow moves to stab.